interrupt this broadcast to bring you this important bulletin from the United Press. Flash, Washington.
We interrupt our program to bring you a special broadcast. The German news agency...
We interrupt this program to bring you a news bulletin from Washington. The White House has just announced...
Here is a news bulletin. Shots have reportedly been fired.
Here's another late development, and this news keeps coming in.
This is an NBC News hotline report.
Special report. Verdict sparks violence. National Guard...
secret testimony of the miserable souls who survived this terrifying ordeal. The incidents, the places. My friend, we cannot keep this a secret any longer. Can your hearts stand the shocking facts of the true story of Joshua P. Warren?
From the land of the sky and to high strangers around the globe, this is Speaking of Strange with Joshua P. Warren.
And the world is becoming more and more insane every day. Welcome to the program that gives you breaking news and insight regarding the paranormal and downright weird, where the unusual becomes usual, and we don't just discuss it, we go in the field to investigate. Here's a story from Tampa, Florida. It has finally happened. Some are saying the real Planet of the Apes. Even though, well, actually, there is a difference between apes and monkeys, but Florida authorities have vowed to capture a rogue monkey. Last seen running through a Tampa neighborhood. They say he's a big one, 3 feet tall, brown, fast, and potentially dangerous. A resident initially reported seeing the fleet-footed monkey running through a yard in the middle of a sunny afternoon. They said, this thing is pretty damn big. An hour later, another caller spotted a monkey, we presume the same one, about a dozen blocks away near a bridge. Sightings are occurring near the Tampa Lowry Park Zoo, but officials there told the police that all its monkeys are accounted for. So while some on social media are questioning whether this was indeed a monkey or a chimpanzee, which would be an ape, Tampa police have said, well, look, the exact species is unknown, but the sightings appear to be credible. They have all officers alerted to capture this creature, no matter what the species, as quickly as possible. And now there's a debate over whether they should even use lethal force. And all throughout history, you have these stories about odd exotic creatures appearing out of place. Even here in Asheville, North Carolina, in the 1980s, a kangaroo was on the rampage in Biltmore Village. Dozens of people saw it, police were called out, and the thing just disappeared. It may be a cryptid of a different kind, something that slipped through some portal from another part of the world. I don't know. But, hey, that's the kind of thing that we talk about on this program. Thank you for joining us. I'm your host, Joshua P. Warren, author of books like Haunted Asheville, How to Hunt Ghosts, and The Secret Wisdom of Kukulcan. I'm founder and president of Lemur Paranormal Investigations. My producer and engineer is Sam the Animal Steel. Good evening, Sam.
Hola, Mr. P. Warren. How are you doing today?
Muy bueno, señor. Muy bueno. Muy bien. I've been gone working on my big book deadline. I now have 50% of this major publication finished. I still can't reveal what this book is about, but my next deadline is February the 15th. And soon I will be heading back down to Puerto Rico, where we're going to be doing a TV shoot and working on that deadline for the final 50%. And so it just never ends.
Well, by the way, to that extent, I just wanted to say thank you so much for flying me down to Puerto Rico. You, right before the show, Josh was saying, Sam, I can't wait to fly you down. You're going to love the Bermuda Research Triangle base.
Right.
And so that's very generous of you.
At least you have a piece of clothing you can wear.
I wore it last night.
Right next to your skin so that you can almost hear the ocean and feel the warm breeze.
Because when I think Puerto Rico, I think cashmere tank.
So Sam, you know what? Because of a ball game, we are not going to be able to air this show next Saturday. And that means this is going to be our Christmas edition of the show.
That explains why you're wearing the Santa getup.
I have a sprig of holly and a top hat and a scarf.
Mistletoe hanging in random places.
I'm looking for little Tim somewhere, little tiny Tim, to hoist up on my shoulder. I certainly have had plenty of turkey. Did you enjoy your Thanksgiving?
It was okay. I mean, you know, it was okay.
Okay. Well, I had a great Thanksgiving. So
let's give thanks for that.
That's what I'm giving thanks for. And I have a feeling that investigator Shelley Wright of Wright's Coin Shop also had a nice homegrown Western North Carolina traditional Thanksgiving. Didn't you, Shelley?
I did. It was the best Thanksgiving ever.
And now that it is the buying season, I know how hectic things are getting at Wright's Coin Shop.
So crazy. So crazy. Do not wait until the last minute.
Yeah. That's the big thing this time of year. So many people do wait to the last minute, and then they just have empty shelves in front of them.
They
and
do.
You can tell when somebody gives you a gift if they waited to the last minute.
Oh, definitely. Don't be that person. Don't be that guy.
Well, we're going to actually talk tonight on the program about a topic that I think is fascinating that may sort of relate to what you do, Shelley. Did you know, Sam the Animal Steel?
Yes.
That when Charles Dickens wrote A Christmas Carol, he based the character of Ebenezer Scrooge on a real man.
Let's see, what year was this? Have been 1870?
What year did the story come out?
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know exactly.
Because, I mean, that would be a big clue into who this was based on.
Well, I can tell you that the real man was born in 1714 and died 1789.
I'm thinking it's got to be some sort of magnate, like some sort of, like, you know, like steel baron or something. Maybe a Rockefeller or a...
It's a good guess.
Okay, what is it?
Well, I'm not going to tell you yet.
Well,
that comes up hour number two of the show, because since this is the big Christmas edition, I'm not only going to talk about the real man that was the basis for Ebenezer Scrooge, and again, you know, this is a guy who would have hoarded all of those coins from Wright's Coin Shop and sat around in the dark with a candle, you know, eating leftovers from the alley rather than spend it. And this is true.
Scrooge McDuck. Yeah. It's based on Scrooge McDuck.
But we are also going to talk about some very interesting European traditions that, to a certain extent, are making a comeback here in the States. We're going to talk about a very strange kind of creature that is celebrated called the Mari Luwad. Bet you never heard of that.
Spain?
It's Welsh, actually. Oh. And one of my absolute favorite topics, and something that I believe, Sam, you have told me and Shelley that you had never heard of before the Krampus.
Yes, the Krampus.
You still don't know what the Krampus is.
Mm-mm.
Well, that's fantastic. I consider this a great treat that I get to introduce you to your new favorite character, the Krampus.
I just have this weird feeling that it's like something like on a construction site when you're the new guy. They're like, hey, new guy, go get that board stretcher. You know, you're like, bored, okay, and you're just like the Krampus, and you're pulling my leg or something.
It's a big joke. Like snipe hunting or something
snipes.
In the mountains.
Yeah.
No, the Krampus is real. The Krampus is a really nasty, scary creature, and I'll throw this out as a teaser. You know, when you're a good little kid on Christmas morning, Santa brings you something nice. But if you're a bad little kid in Krampus territory, Krampus comes and drags you off and eats you and does a lot of other horrible things. And so we're going to get to the bottom of who the Krampus is. All that stuff coming up hour number two. But I also want to go ahead and start introducing something before we take our first break here. Of course, I'm a correspondent for Coast to Coast AM. Hosted by George Norrie, and there is a new holiday album out, released by the Coast to Coast AM family. It's called Holiday Magic Coast Style, and this Christmas album has 18 tracks on it.
18 gold, just golden masterpieces.
Yeah. And basically what they did was go and get some of their most popular Coast guests and say, will you sing a song or perform something or do something Christmassy that we can put on this album? It's going to come out in December, and proceeds are going to go to veterans and various charities.
And you were upset because your plate's spinning. Like, what you're so well at does not translate well to vinyl, you know? So you got to come up with something.
Well, this actually became a little weirder and more complex for me than most people, not surprisingly, because when Tom Danheiser, George's producer, first contacted me about this, he said, what instruments... Wait, first he said, do you sing? And I said, I do sing, but not for public appreciation.
Not known appreciation. As Western North Carolina Pavarotti,
yeah.
For nothing.
I might sing in the shower, or if I'm at a party and I'm drunk, you know, I'll sing some dirty tunes, but that's about as far as it goes. And he goes, well, do you play instruments? And I said, I do. I play the piano, the viola, the violin, a bit on the guitar, the harmonica. And he says, well, maybe you could play a Christmas tune. And I thought to myself, well, actually, I play something that is really rare, that very few... I don't even know personally anybody else who plays the theremin.
It's really cool.
And I've talked about... I did perform the theremin in public one time here in Asheville at an event. The theremin is the only instrument in the world that you play without physical contact. You wave your hands around it, and it's an electronic device. And the interference from your hands changes the pitch and so on.
Pitch and volume is very cool.
So I performed a Christmas tune on the theremin, which at first they liked, and then they decided they didn't like it.
Ridiculous.
So it didn't make the album, but I'm going to play this tune for you when we come back. However, I did end up making the album, not by playing an instrument, though. I read a poem. And it's an original.
Oh, did you?
And we're going to let you hear this poem tonight as well. So I know you're all just thrilled. You're tingling. You should be. I'm Joshua P. Warren. Stick around for a fun, exciting show. This is Speaking of Strange.
Me, I'll bounce right. Maybe I'll just lay down. Maybe I'll have some fun. Maybe I'll meet someone and make it mine. Me, I'll be just fine and dandy. Lord, it's like a hard candy Christmas. I'm barely getting through tomorrow, but still I won't let sorrow bring me way down. I'll be fine and dandy. Lord, it's like a hard candy Christmas.
From the heart of the Blue Ridge Mountains, Asheville, North Carolina, land of the sky. I am your host, the Wizard of Weird, Joshua P. Warren. And this is Speaking of Strange, presented by Wright's Coin Shop. And there has never been a better time to call Wright's Coin Shop than this coming week. 828-298-5402. You can also go to WrightsCoinShop.com, that's WRIGHTS, or call them at 828-298-5402. And don't forget, you can also go to SpeakingOfStrange.com for a live chat during the show, regular updates on weird news around the world, more info on topics discussed, and links to the official Haunted Asheville Ghost Tours Facebook page, Twitter, etc. And this month, we still have some of our very special events available downtown called Spirits of Christmas, in which you get to go from cocktail lounge to cocktail lounge enjoying some seasonally themed alcoholic beverages, hearing some spooky and sometimes horrific stories about the Christmas season, sprinkled with a bit of local history. That's all at hauntedasheville.com, and you've got to buy your tickets online in advance. Now, before the break, I was talking about this new Coast to Coast AM Holiday Magic album, and proceeds go to veterans and various charities. And so I have a track on this thing, which is me reading a poem I wrote. But before I did that, I performed a song on the theremin. Now, again, if you don't know what a theremin is, it's an electrical device invented in the 1920s by Leon Theremin in Russia. It's essentially a box that has two antennas. One is a vertical antenna sticking up off the top, and the other is a horizontal loop antenna off of the side. And you play the instrument by waving your hands around it precisely. So your right hand, for example, would move closer or farther away from the vertical antenna in order to change the pitch. And simultaneously, you would be raising your left hand up and down over the horizontal loop antenna to control the volume. It's a lot like patting your head and rubbing your belly with two different hands at the same time. And having played all these instruments I mentioned before, learning to play the theremin was the most difficult time I've ever had learning to play an instrument.
I mean, did you, like, learn to play, like, notes, or are you just going by ear? Or?
You almost need to have perfect pitch in order to play the theremin. In a space of air that's about 12 inches, you've got maybe 6 octaves. And it's very, very nuanced being able to adjust your hand to get it just right. But once you can play it, a lot of people think of the theremin associated with the old, you know, B-movies of the 1950s. But also, you can play some really beautiful classical music and operatic music because it sounds a lot like maybe a soprano singing
as
well.
Who was the lady? She was like such a huge sensation back in the 20s, 30s. She was like the theremin virtuoso from Russia.
Oh yeah. Gosh, you know what? Her name escapes me. But yes, she was absolutely
was awesome.
Fantastic. So here was my first attempt at doing something for the Coast album, which this didn't make the album, so this is going to be your only opportunity to hear it. This is 100% original in terms of performance. I performed every element of what you were about to hear here, including the acoustic guitar in the background and the drums, and I did that stuff with a little help from the internet. But still, the theremin, that's all just me organically sitting there in, of all places, Puerto Rico in my kitchen. So here is probably the only version ever made in all of history of the Little Drummer Boy on theremin. Enjoy. Ah, yes, the warm and soothing sounds of the theremin at the holiday season. And, yes, it's funny because I was literally just down in my living room in Puerto Rico, pretty much in the middle of summer, and it was very humid. And when you're playing the theremin, you have to rely upon the field interference, basically, of your body moving around the antenna. So it was tricky, but I pulled it off, and at first they said, oh, this is cool because it's just so weird and unusual. But then I think a real professional got involved.
And they were like, this is weird and unusual.
And so then they came back and said, well, we please don't be offended, Joshua. I was like, no, I will not be offended, trust me. We don't think this is right for the album. We want something that sounds a little bit more traditional. Is there something else you could do? Maybe read a poem.
What was the feedback on that?
The feedback on that was so incredibly positive that a lot of people, well, as a matter of fact, the lady in charge of the album
moved to tears.
She was crying. Yeah, and she said, you wrote this? Unbelievable. So when we come back, we are going to play for you the poem that I wrote and recorded with Sam the Animal Steel.
Sitting on this for months.
As my engineer.
Non-disclosure clause.
It is called The Christmas Puppy. And you will hear it when we return on your favorite program where we dig into the amazing, the remarkable, the extraordinary, and the downright weird. I'm Joshua P. Warren. This show is brought to you by Wright's Coin Shop, and it's called Speaking of Strange.
Can't keep my eyes from the southerly sky. Tongue tied and twisted, just an earthbound history.
That's right. Remember the true reason for the season, my friends, to pause, take a moment, and, enjoy yourself and be thankful for all the good things that you have in your life. A little bit later, I have a story I'll read you about a horrible incident that happened at a Thanksgiving dinner. And some people just don't
good
get
segue.
It.
Good segue. Yeah. And remember, the reason for the... After that, we'll talk about cannibalism.
Because I find it amazing that every year we go through this big period of time where we talk about the importance of being nice and being thankful, and we read these stories about Ebenezer Scrooge and how, you know, don't be a douchebag is really the basic message here. And people just continue to do it anyway.
Yeah. More and more every year. It's a lack of respect for others on the planet.
Yes. So, all right, my theremin song, and by the way, this is Speaking of Strange. I'm Joshua P. Warren, brought to you by Wright's Coin Shop. And my theremin song, or my theremin version of The Little Drummer Boy, did not make the cut for the Coast to Coast AM album. So I recorded a poem. And I recorded this poem here in Asheville. This is all original. I wrote it, and Sam helped me record this and put it together. And I sent it.
Yeah.
And Tom Danheiser, who's George's producer, he just responds, and all he says at first is, "You made me cry." And then the lady who's in charge of the album, as I mentioned, she said, "You wrote this? Oh, wow, this is amazing. This is fantastic." So, look, I don't know how good or this really is or isn't, but now you get to decide for yourself. This is from the new Holiday Magic Coast Style Christmas album. You can find it on Amazon.com. There is a link at coasttocoastam.com. They're 18 tracks with people singing, like, well, of course, George, Whitley Strieber, I believe Daniel Brinkley, even Pat Boone does an original song on this thing.
He did a metal album a while back.
Really?
Yeah.
So here is my contribution, and the proceeds go to veterans and various other charities. This is The Christmas Puppy. The Christmas Puppy by Joshua P. Warren. I grew up near Asheville, where the mountains part the way, between the flattest Piedmont and where the snow caps lay. And what I'm about to tell you is the saddest thing I've seen. It's true, this tale of wonder upon one Christmas Eve. You see, it was tradition in our sleepy southern town to venture out and carol as the snow fell on the ground. See, we would drag a sleigh behind, complete with bells and toys, and dish out smiles and warmth and joy to little girls and boys. For 50 years, our family had made our joyous trips. But in the winter 93, we brought one special gift. My mother brought a puppy, a little one named Scruff. His mother died of oldness, and he was her last pup. A mutt, he loved the snow more than any dog I'd seen. He'd prance around and lick it up, a snow dog's winter dream. But on that frosty afternoon, as we trudged on our way, we happened on a tragic sight, a halt to all the play. Lying by the pathway was a gray and lifeless lump. It was another puppy, a dead and solid clump. My mother squatted down as tears welled in her eyes and pulled the frigid body from the ice glued at the sides. Scruff ran up and sniffed it. His spirit full of glum, he had a grimace on his face. He knew the end had come. My mother put the little dog back down upon the snow, and Scruff stepped over to the pup, his head hung, sad and low. The air was cold and quiet as Scruff stood by the pup, and then his paws close by it. He lowered, then looked up. We watched our little dog crawl up and rest upon the corpse, and sigh as if his own breath labored with remorse. It was the saddest thing that we had ever seen, our little puppy resting on this form, so pale and lean. And then, what happened next brings shivers to me now. To our complete astonishment, the dead one squinched its brow. And as our Scruff pawed deeper, and with the warmest smile, the gray form underneath him began to roll and rile. With smiles beaming through the tears, my mother scooped it up, the little gray mass quivering, a newly reborn pup. We raced back to the house and warmed the little one, and slowly it awakened more, shining like the sun. It was a miracle, more than we could conceive. And so we thought it fitting to name her Christmas Eve. And with much time, she grew and grew, a strong and husky mate, a member of our family. Her love for us was fate. She always wagged her bushy tail and spread her silly smile, and children and adults were ever touched by her beguile. Amazingly, the most important thing for you to know is that our precious doggie now loves the winter snow. And for the years thereafter, the children squealed with joy each time we went to caroling with chocolate and toys. And that's because the sleigh now slides more easily through the flakes. Our doggies pull the treats around the glens and hills and lakes. They hear the bells a-ringing, and in Santa they believe. But they know the gifts we're bringing are from Scruffy and from Eve. Merry Christmas, everyone. Here we go one more time. Merry Christmas, everyone.
Shelley, how are you holding up?
I think I should be hired by Hallmark to do that at the end of commercials. Merry Christmas, everyone.
I did add some, you know, effect on that.
Oh, really? Actually, it was all computer-generated. Stephen Hawking read the poem, and Sam just morphed it into my voice, yes. So there you have it, The Christmas Puppy, soon to be animated by Chuck Jones, and coming to a theater near you.
When's that going to be released on limited edition 7-inch?
Probably never.
Oh.
So now there you have all my my original Christmas content thus far. Let's get to the wacky and unpleasant story about what happened to a family in Pennsylvania on Thanksgiving. The cops say a woman, 47 years old, stabbed her boyfriend for starting Thanksgiving dinner without her. She was incensed that her boyfriend began eating their Thanksgiving dinner while she was asleep following a day of drinking. She ran into the room and chased him around the dining room and then stabbed him repeatedly. According to the cops there, it happened around 6:30 p.m. They got a 911 call. When they arrived, the woman just announced, quote, "I stabbed him because I'm not eating leftovers for my Thanksgiving dinner," end quote. Further investigation revealed the woman's beau had been stabbed in the chest and was pressing a towel to his wound when police arrived. He was later treated at a local hospital. They say, fortunately, it is a non-life-threatening injury. He said, well, look, she'd been drunk. She was intoxicated. She went to go sleep it off. And he said she did tell him that if he ate dinner before her, she would kill him.
He's really understanding.
Yeah.
It's love, Shelley. True love.
Huh.
That's the dark side of real romance. It says here, 2 years ago, an 18-year-old Indiana resident was arrested for stabbing his mother's live-in boyfriend after discovering that the man had eaten all of the leftover Thanksgiving turkey.
Take that, Dale.
Yeah. It's all courtesy of thesmokinggun.com. Time for a break. When we come back, this is interesting. Who doesn't want to have an advantage when it comes to learning things at a genius level quickly and effortlessly? It kind of reminds me of this movie Limitless that came out a while back, because headline is, a new super smart pill unlocks fast learning abilities. I'll explain when we return. Who knows, maybe something you'll want in your new year to truly make those resolutions turn out and come to fruition. I'm Joshua P. Warren. This is Speaking of Strange. Only come a ten about twice a year. Yeah, we are in the final minutes of our number one on tonight's Speaking of Strange special holiday edition.
Ho, ho, ho.
And which you cannot say in Canada, by the way, because that's offensive to hoes. It's
he,
really? Up there, yes.
Huh.
Santa cannot smoke a pipe, and he certainly cannot have children sitting on his lap. Now,
man.
Yeah, they're taking all the traditional fun out of it in these areas. Now, mind you, next hour on Speaking of Strange, brought to you by Wright's Coin Shop, and you can call them at 828-298-5402, 828-298-5402, and you should do it ASAP. We are going to talk about some really strange, interesting Christmas content that I feel certain you won't hear anywhere else. In fact, next week, this coming week, between now and Christmas, there are going to be two more opportunities, if you're in the Asheville area, to enjoy what is known as the Haunted Asheville Spirits of Christmas Experience, where you get to go to the Asheville Masonic Temple with a guide, a host who will take you through the Asheville Mystery Museum. And then, if you're 21 or older, you get to go to some high-class cocktail lounges downtown and enjoy some seasonally themed alcoholic beverages while you hear some stories that are kind of spooky, and, you know, Charles Dickens, he proved that ghosts and spirits and Christmas go together very well. So you hear about, say, the Charlie Lawson murders, which was one of North Carolina's most horrific mass murders that occurred on December 25th of 1929, or the Frankie Silver murder, which happened 3 days before Christmas. Also, is it true that there are more suicides this time of year? A lot of strange stuff, but you got to buy your ticket online. Go to hauntedasheville.com, hauntedasheville.com, to see what's available if we still have spaces left. And this next hour, I'm going to kind of give you a taste of some of these kinds of stories that you'll hear about. We're going to talk about the Krampus. And if you know what the Krampus is, you're like, oh, yeah, this is going to be good. If you don't, well, you need to know about this monster that runs around punishing kids and even their families to a certain extent at Christmas time. We're going to talk about something called the Mari Luwad from Wales. I doubt you know what that is, but I think you'll be especially fascinated by the story of a man in England who was the model that Charles Dickens apparently used for the real Ebenezer Scrooge, okay? For the character Ebenezer Scrooge, but this is the real Ebenezer Scrooge. This man was 75 when he died, and wait till you hear the story of his life. We're going to dig into all that stuff next hour, so be sure to stick around. I mentioned there is this movie called Limitless that came out recently about a guy who finds a drug that turns him into sort of a super genius for 24 hours or something like that when he ingests it. And he's able to use all of his brain, basically. You hear all the time, well, people only use 10% of their brain, and that's actually not precisely accurate. But still, we don't understand how most of the brain is used. And the concept here is that, well, there is a pill that will allow you to use all of the brain. And I remembered that when I read this story. New super smart pill unlocks fast learning. Professor Carla Schatz of Stanford University and her colleagues have discovered a way to revert an adult brain to the, quote, plastic childlike state that is more able to form new connections quickly. The technical term plastic implies the ability to adapt or shape itself to new conditions. The striking results were revealed through experiments on a protein expressed in brain cells, known as PIRB. This is the name of the protein in the animal model. In humans, it's called LILRB2, which seems to stabilize neural connections. They say that it's involved in all kinds of areas in the brain, and they have had enormous success analyzing the impact on mice. They say it's a receptor molecule, and flooding it into the bloodstream or an organism, whether animal or human, gives the effect of sort of soaking up the natural target molecule, which drives the activity of brain pathways. So basically, you take this and you're learning at the rate of a child. Sounds like something you might want to take if you are maybe trying to learn a new language when you're an adult, or how to play a musical instrument, that kind of thing. Pretty cool. Okay, time for a break. When we come back, we will begin hour number two with tales of the scariest part of Christmas, the Krampus. I'm Joshua P. Warren. It's Speaking of Strange.